We're handing out notes today. I don't have anything that you need to fill out, probably for sake of speed, timing. And I didn't know about Pastor Francisco till yesterday evening. Omar called and said, "Hey, can you have him speak?" And I said, "I'd love to." So that was an extra treat for us. Anyway, we're going to talk a little more about the resurrection. In fact, we're going to talk about the fact that the resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. I have in very small print in your notes all the text that I will use today. I may turn one place, but for the most part I put it there. I squeezed it down so it would fit easily on a half sheet. So I'm sorry if it's too small, but I'll read it nonetheless. A lot of Christians emphasize Christmas as the greatest holiday, I guess. But in reality, from a biblical perspective, Christmas was just leading up to Easter, the resurrection. So we're going to talk about that. Just kind of waiting for everybody else. Do we have enough? Okay. You can head in the office. Lynn will help you out there. We got a copy machine back there, so we can make as many as we want. So, anyway, nice problem to have. Let's pray, and then we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, I thank you very much for the Word of God, and I pray, Lord, that you would help us to rightly teach it, Lord, to intently listen, and Lord, may our hearts be changed as we're brought face to face with your truths. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. The resurrection of Jesus makes all the difference. I was going to preach just on the first passage, but I thought that would get a little... Sometimes I get a little deep, and I didn't want to do that because I want to show you the big picture. So if you look first, and that first point, it says, the resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. The resurrection proves that Jesus is the Son of God. Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 is what I'll read for you now. It says this, and it's right in your notes there. Paul, a bondservant or slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he, that's talking about God, promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So it wasn't something new. It was something God had talked about all along. Concerning what? Concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David. That has to do with what God had promised in the Old Testament. The Son of God would be born of the seed of David. He'd be descended from David. According to the flesh. And that's important because Jesus wasn't just a man. He was God. So he took on flesh. That's what Christmas is all about. Goes on to say, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And notice this last phrase here. By the resurrection from the dead. Now let me ask you this. Before I explain that any further, do people make claims that aren't true in our day? When you say the word politics, isn't that what you think of oftentimes? That people promise one thing and don't deliver? Maybe it's true of other things too. Maybe you bought something based upon a claim, and that wasn't true, and it ended up not doing what you said. In fact, a lot of scams take place because people believe what other people tell them, even though it's false. They deceive them. They get them to spend some money or do something so that they get something that actually won't come to pass. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus claimed that he would be put to death And in 3 days, he would rise again. Lots of people claim things, but what happened to Jesus? Here, Paul refers to this. He says he was declared to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus did more than just talk. He did more than just promise. He delivered. And he not only claimed to be good, he not only claimed to be God in the flesh, he proved it by coming back to life after he was crucified. The difference between Christianity and all other religions of the world is that Christianity serves someone that had died and rose again. Christianity is the real deal. Regardless of what religion you go in and to, ultimately people die. There might be a reincarnation if you're in that realm or whatever, but people are just the same. Jesus Christ was more than just a man. He rose from the dead after he had claimed that he would do so. Nobody else has done that. There's an empty tomb over in Israel, even to this day, that says Jesus is who he says he is. And you'd better listen up. The resurrection proves that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It declares it. It proclaims it, that Jesus is more than just a good man. In recent weeks, we've talked about on our Sunday morning sessions that Jesus cannot be just a good man. Why is that? Because he claimed to be God. A good person will not claim a falsehood. Jesus, as C.S. Lewis said, either had to be an absolute idiot. He was a crazy man because of all that he claimed for himself. He had to be an absolute deceiver, or he had to be the Son of God. There was no fourth option of a good man. A lot of people honor or acknowledge Jesus as a good man, and it cannot be. A good man does not claim to be God. Jesus not only claimed to be God, he proved to be God by dying and rising again. The resurrection is everything. The resurrection confirms, it validates, it proves that Jesus is the true God. Now, we're not going to argue the resurrection today other than there is an empty tomb. There is the fact that Jesus' disciples, many of them, his apostles, died because of what they knew about Jesus. If it was a deceit, you certainly wouldn't die for that deceit. I mean, that's taking a trick a little too far, okay? If you're lying, you're not going to die about your lie. These apostles believed with all of their heart that they had seen Jesus, that he had risen from the dead. There's lots of arguments for the resurrection, even the impact of Christianity over time. But what we want to talk about this morning is that the resurrection makes all the difference. The Bible talks about all kinds of things that the resurrection impacts. You'll have to make your own decision, but I would venture to say today, I would claim today that Jesus is the start and end for you. You can reject that. That's your prerogative, that's your privilege. But rejecting the truth does not change the truth. I'll throw that out there. The resurrection makes all the difference. I've got 8 points, so I'll be quick about it, okay? The resurrection makes all the difference in my relationship with God. In my relationship with God, that's number one. 1 Peter 3:18 says this, "For Christ also," Christ is another, it was his title, the Messiah, Christ, Jesus Christ. "For Christ also suffered once for sins, The just for the unjust. We don't use those terms much. How about the good for the bad? The perfect for the sinful. The just for the unjust. Why? That He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Do you understand why Jesus died on the cross? Jesus died on the cross so He could take your place, so that He could take my place. If I could have everyone raise their hand, I won't ask you to do this, but how many have ever committed a sin? All of us would have to raise our hands. According to the Bible, all of us are sinners. And if you don't think so, ask the person next to you and they'll confirm that yes, indeed, he or she's a sinner, right? Right? You don't have to go too far for validation on that. The Bible says that Jesus, the perfect Son of God, the just one, died for us who are unjust, who are sinful. Why? That He might bring us to God. Our relationship with God is different because of what Jesus has done, and He proved it by rising from the dead. He was put to death in the flesh. Remember, Jesus was born at Christmas time, but He didn't start come into existence then. Jesus is the Son of God who has always existed. He simply came to earth at Christmas time to take on flesh so He could die. You can't kill God, but you can kill a man. So Jesus became the God-man. So that He could take your sins and my sins, so that He could bring you and I to God. He died and then He rose again. That makes all the difference. That makes all the difference. That says that what He says is true. That indeed we are sinners and indeed His payment is valid for our sins. The resurrection makes all the difference in my relationship with God. Jesus suffered for you. He died and rose again. Bingo. There it is. It's true for you and I. Number two, the resurrection makes all the difference in how I view my actions. And you say, what? What does Easter have with the rest of my life? What does that have to do with anything? Well, listen here. Easter is more than a Sunday. Easter is the biggest deal on the face of the earth. Listen to Acts 17. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, again, one of Jesus' followers, preaching to people that had not been to church. Okay? He says this to them. He says, truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked. God says, I understand people are not aware of everything about me. But now, Paul says, God commands all men everywhere to repent. What does repent mean? You've probably heard of the word repent. But repent means to change your mind. That means you believe, everyone here believes in something. Okay, maybe you believe in yourself. Maybe you believe in Buddha. We were listing some of the religions last week. Maybe you believe in Muhammad. Okay, but everyone here believes in something. Maybe you just believe in money. Maybe you believe in the best basketball players or a rock and roll singer or whatever. But everyone grabs on to something that they assign as what they focus on in life. God says you need to repent of that. You need to change your mind and believe what is true. Paul goes on to say this, because He, God, has appointed a day on which He will, what's it say? Judge. He will judge the world. How many here want to be judged? Me neither. He will judge the world. That pretty much says that all of us will be judged. Anyone here not in the world? Okay, just checking. What's even worse goes on to say this. He will judge the world. What's it say there in your notes? In righteousness. Bummer. Bummer, because He's not going to judge me by Kevin's standard. He's not going to judge you by your standard. He's going to judge you. He's going to judge me by His perfect, righteous standard. Does that change the way you think about how you do things? If everything you do By the way, God even talks about evaluating your thoughts and your words, not only your actions. If everything you do, God will judge. Does that change the way you look at the way you do things? It should. Might I add so boldly, it better. Because God has appointed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness. How will He judge? By the man. It's capital letters there for a reason. He's talking about Jesus, the God-man. The man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of all this by raising Him from the dead. Guess what? How many here are going to be judged? Everyone. You know why? You know why? You know this for a fact. You don't have to worry about it at all, about being judged at all, if Jesus is still in the grave. You just do whatever you want. You live the way you want. But if Jesus is not in the grave, and that's where I plant my money on, then all of us will be evaluated by Him. It says that if He rose from the dead, then you and I will be judged for everything we do by God's righteous standard. The resurrection makes a difference in how we live. Okay? Number three. The resurrection makes all the difference regarding what happens after you die. I'm trying to illustrate, think about how to illustrate this. We had the kids on Wednesday night doing something. And we had them, if God says something, it's true. That's what we were teaching them. If God says something, it's true. What if everybody disbelieves what God is true? What God says is true? Does that change what is true? Okay? Understand that if Jesus rose from the dead, it doesn't matter if you or I believe it or not. Jesus rose from the dead. Okay? It doesn't matter if the public opinion poll is against Jesus rising from the dead. It doesn't change that fact. At all. Right? It's still there. Listen to what Jesus said about after you die. John chapter 5. Jesus says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you," that means like this is very true. "I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. And shall not come into what? Judgment." Remember we just talked about that? I'm under judgment. If I believe in Jesus, I'm not under judgment. "But it's passed from death to life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Who will live? The Bible says the dead. Anyone who has died. Got that? The dead, and then verse 26, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted the Son to have life in Himself, and has given Him authority to execute judgment," there's that word again, "also because He is the Son of Man." Won't go into it, but the Son of Man sounds like Jesus is saying He's a man. It's actually a term from the Old Testament that very much identifies Him as being the Son of God. I know that sounds confusing, but Jesus says this, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice." How many are all? Anyone here part of all? Raise your hand. If you die, will you be part of all who are in the grave? Okay, just checking up on it. Jesus wasn't picking on church people. He was talking about everybody. "All who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good..." By the way, that's not done almost good. Okay? It's done good, period. "To the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil..." Didn't we just say all of us have kind of qualified for that category? "To the resurrection of condemnation." So who gets resurrected? According to what Jesus says. Everyone. The good and the bad, right? Okay? It makes a difference. Jesus' resurrection proves that there is going to be a resurrection of everybody else. Okay? There is an afterlife. There is something beyond the grave here. It's not eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. It's eat, drink, and be merry if you want, but tomorrow there's a resurrection. Whether you're good or bad. The resurrection, number four, makes all the difference in how I live and what I live for. This one's a little, it's not hard. Let me just read it. It's a little longer, but I had to leave all of this in here to get the gist of the passage here. Philippians 3, verses 8 through 15. Paul says this again, "Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Paul is a believer in Jesus as his Savior and as his Master, "for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." Paul was willing to give up all of the prestige that he had, all of the money that he could have made, all of the authority that he had as a Pharisee to follow Jesus. It's amazing. He gave up everything. And he says, "I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith or belief in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Now notice what he says here. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death." Why would Paul give up all of that? He said, "So that I may know God in a very close fashion and know the power of his resurrection." You mean there's something beyond a historical fact that Jesus rose again? Yes, the resurrection changes how you live. It gives you power. Not like, I'm trying to think of some cartoon character. Sorry, I'm not well versed in cartoons. It's not like Superman power where you wear tights and a cape and fly around and save people. It's the power of being able to do what's right. It's the power to be able to do what's right. The resurrection changes how I live and what I live for. Paul was willing to give up all that he wanted to live for. Paul was willing to give up all that he could get out of life so that he could live for Jesus. The resurrection changed the way he looked at life. So far we've talked about four. The resurrection makes all the difference in my relationship with God. The resurrection makes all the difference in how I view my actions. Why? Because I'm going to be judged. The resurrection makes all the difference regarding what happens after you die. It ensures that there will be a resurrection of everyone. The resurrection makes all the difference in how I live and what I live for. The resurrection, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, should change the way you walk, to change the way you talk, and by the way, it gives you the ability to do that. Number five, the resurrection makes all the difference in how I view death. I'm not necessarily looking forward to dying, but I know I will. In fact, I heard this morning, or I think it was early this morning, a dear pastor passed away, just suddenly. He had retired pastor, but he went around and was speaking at churches. And he wasn't all that old. I think he was in his 60s. Just a total shock to everyone. Death will come. If you live long enough, you die. Okay? That's a fact. In fact, the Bible says the reason why you die, do you know why you die? The Bible says it's because you have sin. You're infected with sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. Okay? So if you're not sure if you're a sinner, just wait. If you die, you are. Okay? That's a lousy way to figure it out. But if you die, the Bible says that's a result of sin that we get from our parents, all the way back from Adam and Eve, and also by what we do ourselves. We don't have to blame our parents for anything. Okay? But the resurrection makes a difference in how you look at death. If you're a believer, it changes the way you see death. It's not something you fear anymore. John 11, you recall the account where there was Mary and Martha. They were sisters, and they had a brother named Lazarus. And Lazarus had died. Jesus was close friends of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Must be where he kind of stayed when he was in the area. Lazarus has died, and now Jesus comes back into that area after being told that Lazarus has died. And this is what happens here, okay? Verse 19 of John 11. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Their brother had died. They're doing what everyone would do and comfort them. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. Didn't even let him get there. She went out to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She had seen Jesus do all kinds of amazing things to heal people. And she knew that Jesus could have kept Lazarus from dying. Then Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would have not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. He says one day he'll be raised, just like the Bible talks about. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. We've already talked about that, the just and the unjust, the good and the bad. Jesus said to her, Jesus has given her new information now. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die. Jesus never promises someone that they won't physically die, but listen to what he promises. He who believes in me, though he may die, yet will he, what? Live. Okay? There'll be a resurrection. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. At the end of that paragraph, there says 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. I won't turn there for sake of time. But that's the passage which talks about what we call the rapture. Okay? When Jesus comes back, there will be some that have not died. That's what Jesus referred to. Those who died shall live. They'll be risen again. And whoever lives, is still living, and believes in me, shall never die. When Jesus returns, they'll just be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about that, if you want more information there. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She said, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God. He goes and raises Lazarus from the dead, back to his normal physical body, after 4 days of being in the grave. Jesus had the power to do that, okay? But ultimately, Jesus will raise everyone up, will judge everyone, okay? And that, by the way, changes the way you look at death. Death is not the end. Death is a transition into eternity. If you're a believer, death doesn't have that scare. The Bible talks about it doesn't have the sting of death. Okay? Why? Because we know that we'll be raised again in a good way. And we'll tell you more about that momentarily here. But it changes the way you look. If you understand what Jesus has done and you believe on Him for what He has done, that changes the way you look at death. Death is not scary. I'm not saying people like to die. But you see that as something you go through rather than something of the unknown. God has taken care of that. Now, number 6. This one ties in a little bit with number 2, I guess. But the resurrection makes all the difference in how I make choices. Now, listen closely to this. If you're a believer, this makes a difference. Hugely. A lot of believers think, well, I'm born into the family of God. I believed on Jesus as my Savior, and I can pretty much do what I want. Well, we've already talked about judgment, right? Here, God gives us even more insight to this. Luke 14, says this, "Then he," talking about Jesus, "also said to him who invited him, 'When you give a dinner or a supper, do not ask your friends, your brothers, your relatives, nor rich neighbors, lest they also invite you back and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you shall be repaid at the resurrection of the just.'" Now listen to what he's saying. He's not saying don't have family over for dinner. But listen to me. He's saying when you have family over for dinner, you don't get bonus points from God. You don't get, because you get repaid. That's your payment yourself. When you do stuff beyond that, to where you're not getting a personal benefit back, that's when God will repay you. Does that make sense? When you're not getting something out of it, when you're going and doing something for God rather than for you, God will make sure you will be repaid at the resurrection. So that determines, okay, am I doing this for me or am I doing this for God? If I'm doing it for me, bingo, you got your payment. Woohoo, yeah, you know, pat yourself on the back, enjoy yourself. But if you're doing it for God and there's no repayment, there's no chance of repayment, God says, I'll take care of that. I'll repay you in the resurrection because you're doing it for me, not for you. Another passage here. This gives a little bit of a hint, not a lot, but Hebrews 11, verses 35 and 36. There's a whole list. It's called the Hall of Faith or Belief. People that have made these kind of choices for God rather than for themselves, okay? It's in the middle of a section, but hopefully we can grab the gist of it here. Women received their dead raised to life again. Remember, we just talked about Lazarus. It's going down kind of a summary history here. And others were tortured. Bringing up stuff in the past, the Bible talked about, as well as things that hadn't specifically talked about. Not accepting deliverance. Why? Why would you not say, I give up? Uncle, 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 let me go. You've heard about people that have been burned at the stake. They have been tortured until they died. Both in history, in the Word of God, and also in like the Fox's Book of Martyrs. It's the history of Christianity. People try and kill them. Even like in the places like Iraq and Iran today, people are abused, punished, and even killed for walking with God. That's all they're doing. Okay? Over and over. Why would you do that? Why would you go through that? Because, notice here, that they might obtain a better resurrection. God will reward them for that. You give out, you give up, you give in. Do you lose your salvation? If you understand what I'm saying, you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're still part of the family, but guess what? You don't get any benefit or reward from it because you gave up. God will repay you for doing His work in this life. And He will give you a better resurrection. You don't work to get resurrection, but God will give you a better resurrection if you live for Him, if you do His work. So the resurrection makes a difference in how I choose things. The Bible talks about the crown of life, the crown of righteousness, different rewards that God will reward us. The Bible even says that some people will be placed in charge of other people because of their faithfulness to God. They aren't saved because of their faithfulness to God, but God rewards their faithfulness. Number seven, the resurrection makes all the difference in my relationship with sin. Now, this is primarily a believer. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, this is talking to you. I don't know, years ago there was a guy that caught a football. I was in probably junior high. And for some reason, some of you will remember this account, but he ran like 90-some yards the wrong way. And then he got they tackled him in his own end zone, and they got a safety. And then they asked him on the television, why did you do this? And he said, the devil made me do it. And you've probably heard the phrase over and over since then. you know, whether you knew what it was. But guess what? A lot of us blame things on the devil. But let me tell you what the resurrection does. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, I'm talking to you now. The Bible says that the devil was your taskmaster. The devil was your slave master. But when you're saved, God frees you from that taskmaster. So the devil is no longer someone who can make you do anything. Let me read this here. Number seven. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also, notice here, should walk in newness of life. For we, if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, if you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, God places you into him, and everything that's true about Jesus is true for you. Okay? Since Jesus died, God counts that death for you, and therefore you, that your sins are paid for. That's what it's talking about. So again, it's talking about believers here. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, what's the next word here? Just a little bit farther, folks. Pay attention. It says, was crucified. If you're a believer, the Bible says you have already been crucified with Christ. God makes true what is true for Christ. The old man was crucified with him that the body of sin might be done away, that we should no longer be slaves. What? Of sin. You can no longer say, brother and sister in the Lord, that the devil made me do it. The Bible says that you now choose to do it if you sin. You get that? The devil can't make you do anything anymore. God has freed you from the devil. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. Since we have died with Christ, sin, death, no longer has dominion over us. It does not rule us anymore. We can still yield to sin, but it's not because we have to now. It's because we choose to. And the passage is great. That goes on to say that you can, since you know this, you reckon yourself dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the resurrection changes our view of sin. We no longer have to serve sin, and therefore we can grow in the Lord and learn to live righteously rather than sinfully. The last one here, number eight, the resurrection changes, makes all the difference in how I witness. It's interesting. But witnessing has to do not with just with Jesus dying for your sins. If you teach that, that's not wrong. It's just incomplete. The gospel isn't that Jesus died for your sins. I hopefully perk some of your ears up. The gospel is that Jesus died for your sins and what? Rose again. Okay, it isn't. The good news isn't that somebody died. The good news is that somebody died and rose again. Okay, that's what they taught. Acts 17, this is Paul teaching these people again that weren't church people. Paul says this, therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers, and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached them Jesus and what? The resurrection. Jesus and the resurrection. So the resurrection makes all the difference in my relationship with God. Jesus suffered on the cross, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The resurrection makes all the difference in how I view my actions. There'll be a judgment. The resurrection makes all the difference regarding what happens after you die. There'll be a resurrection for that judgment. The resurrection makes all the difference in how I live and what I live for. Paul says, hey, I'm giving up all the stuff I want because I want to know God and what He can do in my life because of the resurrection. Number five, the resurrection makes all the difference in how I view death. Death is not something to be afraid of if you know Jesus as your Savior. Number six, the resurrection makes all the difference in how I make choices. God says that there's things that you can live your life for that will last beyond this life, and He will reward you in the resurrection. And it's not living for number one. It's living for Him. Number seven, the resurrection makes all the difference in my relationship with sin. And you as a believer, if you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, no longer have to serve sin. That is a fantastic truth. I could give personal testimony about my sins, but also how God is working in my life to overcome those sins. And number eight, the resurrection makes all the difference in how I witness. We're not telling people about someone who died. We're telling about someone who lives. Now, the last thing in your notes there, the good news about the resurrection is for you too. This is one of my favorite passages here. There's a lot there, and I won't try and preach it. I'm just going to explain it. There's a man named Abraham years and years ago. He was the progenitor, the beginner of the nation Israel, the Jews. He was old, and his wife was old, and they had no children. Abraham and Sarah. God said, his name was actually Abram, which was father of many, which almost was like a bad joke for him because he had how many children? None, right? So God said, hey, you look up at the stars, and even though you're old, I'm going to make your descendants like the stars. I'm going to make your descendants like the sands of the seashore so no one will be able to count them. And the Bible says Abraham believed God, what God said, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Let me read this here. Talking about Abraham here. And not being weak in faith or belief, he, Abraham, did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. Abraham was 100 years old. He had no children, and God said, hey, I'm going to give you a son by your wife Sarah, who was 90. He did not consider his own body. He did not consider Sarah's body. He believed what God said. Verse 20 says this, the deadness of Sarah's womb. Sarah was beyond the ability to bear a child. It says this, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced. And if you have a pen or something, I would underline this sentence. Being fully convinced that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. He took God's word as true. He said, God, I believe you will do what you say you will do. Notice here, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's quoting all the way back from Genesis when this actually happened. Paul's teaching on this here. Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. So what's this got to do with me? Well, hang in there. There's a couple more verses. Verse 23 says this, now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. Imputed means that God took his righteousness and gave it to Abraham. Even though Abraham was not righteous or good, maybe God took his goodness and gave it to Abraham. And it counted for Abraham. It wasn't written just for him. It said this, but also for us. Raise your hand if you're us. Good, yeah, that's part of the all. It's written for us. It shall be imputed to us. What will be imputed? God's righteousness will be imputed to us. You get God's righteousness who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Who was delivered, verse 25 says, who was delivered up because of our offenses. Jesus died on the cross because of our offenses. That would be us again. He had to die on the cross for us. And notice, he was raised, he was resurrected because of our justification. The best news I can tell you today, folks, is, you know all that judgment talk and all of that? Guess what God did? He allowed Jesus to take your judgment. He didn't write it just for Abraham's sake. He wrote it for you. Because he knew that there was no way you or I could be right with God on our own. Because we're sinful. We have that bad, not good kind of thing. And we prove it most every day. And he said, I love them so much, I'm going to die. I'm going to die for their offenses. I'm going to die on the cross. And you can count on it as a fact because he rose from the dead. He was raised because of our justification. Jesus coming back to life proved that our sins have been taken care of. My sins have been taken care of. Yours. The next verse, it's the last verse on your sheet there. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith or belief, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, what Jesus did, what Jesus paid for, if you're willing to believe that, God says, I will count it for you as well. The resurrection proves that what Jesus said is true. You can choose to believe it or not, but it doesn't change the facts. The question is, have you believed on Jesus as the one who died for you, died for your sins? He rose again. It's true, folks. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to believe it. But it doesn't change the facts. Will you believe on Jesus as your Savior? That's the bottom line. That's the starting point. The resurrection makes all the difference and all the rest of the stuff that we talked about today. Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again for you? That's my challenge for you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we understand that you are the truth giver. It isn't how many people believe in something that makes it true or not. And Lord, if I understand correctly, none of us believed this at the beginning anyway. I wasn't born embracing God. I wasn't born thinking I was a sinner. Lord, it's something we've had to come and agree with you on. Lord, I thank you that you do tell us the truth. You do tell us about our sinfulness. And Lord, not because we want to embrace that. We just know it's true. And Lord, then we realize that we are short of your glory. We're short of your approval, and we need something to happen, and we can't make that happen. And Lord, you stepped in and sent Jesus to earth to take on a human body so that he could die for us. And he rose again to prove that he wasn't some phony, that he wasn't some crazy man, he wasn't some liar, but he was truly the Son of God who came to save the world from their sins. Lord, I believe that. With all my heart, I believe that. Because I believe it's true. Because there's an empty tomb in Israel today. Because there's people that have died for centuries because of what Jesus did and said. I pray that every person here would grapple with this revelation from God, from you, that they need a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. Lord, thank you for the hope of the resurrection, that because Jesus rose again, we will be resurrected, whether we believe it or not. But thank you, Lord, that we can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and, Lord, be raised righteous because of what Jesus has done. And I just thank you for that now. Lord, thank you for the privilege of speaking from your word today. Jesus' precious name, amen.